Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. I sure appreciate you, and I appreciate Brother Angel giving me the invitation to preach in this pulpit. Man, I tell you what, I do not feel worthy at all to preach here. I actually don't feel worthy to preach anywhere. Amen. But I'm glad that God uses me in spite of me. Amen. Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 14. It's funny, I did not tell anybody in my family that I was preaching tonight. And I did that because I figured, well, at least we'd have 20 in church. Amen. And so I figured out that I could ensure a good crowd if I didn't tell them I was preaching. If I told them I was preaching, none of them may have showed up. Amen. But I'm glad that they are here. We'll be at Matthew chapter 14. Brother Angel asked me to preach Sunday morning, I think, at the conclusion of the service. He said, hey, you're going to be here. Would you mind filling in for us Wednesday night? And I said, sure. I have learned by experience, you better be ready to preach, pray, or die anywhere you go. I was at Mount Salem. I had just driven from Mesquite to Mount Salem. I don't know, 50 hours or whatever that trip was. It gets longer every time we drove it. And I was getting called up to introduce our group, all the youth pastors. If you're in charge, you come up and you kind of introduce yourself in the church and the whole nine yards. And so as I came up, you know, Brother Randy Taylor and all these guys were on the platform, you know, and I was shaking hands with everybody. And as I was getting ready to introduce our group next, and as I was shaking hands with Brother Randy, he looked at me and said, Brother Reynolds, I need you to preach Wednesday night of camp. And I thought, this is a crazy time for a cool joke. But he was dead serious. He goes, I need you to preach. That was like the keynote speaker spot. And we knew who was going to be preaching, but the man had to cancel at the last minute. And so you're asking me to preach, right? Well, that was bad enough, right? But what was worse than that was it just happened to be the one year that on my way to camp, I left my Bible in my car back in Mesquite. So normally, because the trip is so long, I preach, you know, we would drive out. We would leave Sunday afternoon after church. We drive all the way through Sunday night, all the way through Monday, and we get there Monday afternoon. Okay. And so so normally I would preach and we'd have 70 or so that would go to camp. And so I would preach a message on the bus. And then if we had like a little shuttle or another van, I would jump off of that and jump on the other van and preach that message. That was our Sunday night service. And I would preach to both of them. Well, that particular year, I left my Bible and my message for that Sunday night in the car. So we stopped at a gas station. I bought a King James Bible, found one there. Amen. Remembered enough of my message and preached it. And I said, okay, great. Get to camp. And I'm like, okay, enjoy a week of camp. And then Brother Randy says, hey, I need you to preach. And I'm like, no, God, what are you doing to me? And no iPad. It didn't matter if you had an iPad anyway. It wasn't like you were going to get internet reception in Mount Salem anyway, right? So, I mean, no internet, no study materials. Brother Bragg, just the Bible, right? And so I'm like, okay, God, nothing fancy about this one. We're just going to use the Bible. And it's almost like God said, good, about time you use just the Bible. Amen. And so, all right. But anyway, I'm thankful that Brother Angel gave me at least 3 days. Amen. Matthew chapter 14 is where we're going to be tonight. Not going to keep you too late tonight. Just a simple thought on keeping our eyes on the Lord tonight. All right. Matthew chapter 4, you know the story. Let's stand out of respect to the Word of God tonight. We're going to read a couple verses. I'll pray, have you be seated, and we'll jump right into it, all right? And here we go. All right, verse number 22, Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. The Bible says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. I have written in the flyleaf of my Bible, if we're ever going to spend real time with God, we will do it alone. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, about 3 a.m., Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. I guess so. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And I'll go ahead and read verse 33 and we'll finish here. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And I have written in my fly leaf next to this verse, when you take time to worship, you will always get a better understanding of who he is. Amen. And so just going to preach a simple message entitled, Keep Your Eyes on the Lord. We are, let's see, we are 3 days, 4 days from 2023, whatever we are. All right. And I know some people like to set goals. Maybe you call them resolutions. Maybe you don't like that word resolutions, but you'll set goals for the new year. Man, I cannot think of a better goal for 2023 than purposing to keep our eyes on the Savior. And so we'll pray, and you can be seated after a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we sure do love you. Father, Lord, the church does not need to hear Brother Danny Reynolds tonight, Lord. We need to hear from you. And Lord, I pray, God, Holy Spirit of God, you would indwell me, fill me, use me, Lord, not so that I can get a big head, but so that I can deliver a mighty big message, Lord, the message you've given me for this hour tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would bless Brother Angel, visiting family in Mississippi. I pray that you give him a traveling grace and protect him on the way back. Thank you, Lord, for this great church, and thank you for these dear people and who we've come to love very, very deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. After spending some time in prayer, the Lord walks across the sea to where the disciples' boat was at 3 o'clock in the morning. Think about that. In the middle of the night, and all of the disciples, the Bible says, were afraid except for one, Peter. Now, you know, I haven't really studied it, and I know that sometimes these commercial fishermen sometimes would stay out on the sea all night. They'd spend nights out there on the sea. But can you imagine? Here it is 3 a.m, and all of them are awake. I mean, do you ever read the Bible and just actually think about what you would be doing if you were there? If I was there 3 o'clock in the morning, Brother Allen, I'd be asleep. Okay, but they were all awake. All right. And not only were they all awake, now here they see this figure coming across the water. You know, is it a ghost? I mean, Ebenezer Scrooge. I don't know who it is. You know, coming across the water and they started to be afraid, all except for Peter. And they were all afraid, but not Peter. I mean, Peter must have known who it was in his mind. The Lord must have revealed it to him. But think about this. I think it's truly something that we need to think about here in the Scripture. Peter's the only disciple recorded in the Scripture that actually trusts the Lord at his word. He's the only one that actually believes that it is him. And then by faith, he asked the Lord if he could come to where he was out on the water. Now, again, to me, this is puzzling a little bit, because if that was me, and if we're all honest, if it was us, we would want to stay in the safety of the boat. Jesus, I'm all about coming to where you are, but Jesus, do you think you might step over into the boat where we're at? You're standing on the water. Who asked Jesus? Jesus, you're standing on the water. I want to come to where you're at. There's only one person that can walk on water. That's Jesus. So I don't know why it came into Peter's mind that, hey, I can just go to where you're at, Jesus. Well, it's because Peter had more faith than Daniel Reynolds had. Amen. I mean, Peter said, look, Jesus, if it's you, bid me, allow me to come to where you're at on the water. Man, that's a wonderful thought there in the Scripture. And I mean, to me, as I read it, I'm like, man, I don't know. I mean, to take that first step out on the water, I mean, I've never seen anybody really walk on the water. Now, I've seen people fictitiously walk on the water, and like, you probably have heard of people like David Blaine and these magicians, and I've seen how they did it with acrylic boxes. They didn't walk on the water, you know. And I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a God-hating person like David Blaine anyway, try to resurrect himself from the dead, crazy stuff like that. I mean, there's only one person that's ever done that, and that's my Lord. Amen? And apart from that, the rest of them are phony imposters. Amen? But here was Peter. He goes, God, if I can come to where you're at, out there on the water. Have you ever known anybody successfully walk on water outside of Jesus Christ? And if they did, let me ask you, how successful were they when they tried? I have a boat. I have tried to step out on water. It doesn't work. Amen. You sink straight to the bottom. But Peter had enough faith to step out of the boat. There was such a complete act of faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Peter asked with such certainty that he never even thought twice about it. When Jesus said, come, Peter acted immediately. Peter didn't think about it. He didn't pray about it. He didn't call five of his friends. He just said, you know what? God said, come, I'm going to do it. Church, listen to me. When Jesus instructs you to do something for him, how do you and how do I react? Listen, if we are acting in a way that is not becoming for a Christian, you'll not be able to continue down the path for very long until the Holy Spirit of God reminds you that you're not supposed to act in that fashion. But here's a question tonight. But do we listen? And do we respond right away, or do we simply ignore the Holy Spirit's leading? If maybe you're sitting there tonight and you're saying, Brother Danny, I don't even know what you're talking about for the Holy Spirit to talk to me. What does that mean? That may be because either you have never been scripturally saved, or it might be because you are actually backslidden. And I would never want to be in either one of those two places in my life. I believe the reason why Peter acted so matter-of-factly was because he kept his eyes on the Lord the whole time. Here's what I know. When we keep our eyes on the Lord, we tend not to look around at the circumstances. The circumstances seem insignificant in light of the Savior. Wow, what a thought. And so this evening, I want to share with you just four reasons of why we should keep our eyes on the Savior. Look, if you're looking for a deep philosophical message tonight, wrong preacher. Amen. I like putting the jelly on the bottom shelf because I think people can understand it, and also because that's all I'm able to preach. Amen. And so here we go. Four reasons tonight why we should keep our eyes on the Lord. Number one, when you do, you will not sink. Look at it in verse number 29. And he said, come. Now, this was not any old invitation. This was an invitation from the Savior himself. And so the Bible says, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he literally walked on the water to go to Jesus. Listen, I don't know if he took 10 steps. I don't know if he took 100. I know this. He took at least one. And that's all it took. Peter immediately stepped out of the boat, and he literally started walking to where Jesus was. And here's what I know. As long as he kept his eyes on Christ, he never sunk. Now, think about this. Church, you and I tonight must purpose in 2023. We must keep the faith. God needs all of us to serve him faithfully until we hear that trumpet sound. Listen, we need to stay in an old-fashioned, independent, King James preaching, Bible-believing Baptist church. We need to keep soul winning, the focus, the priority. Listen, it has always worked. It will always still work. You say, well, Brother Danny, maybe I don't see as many people as I used to see saved. But if you keep going soul winning, you're still going to see people saved. Amen. And listen, we'll still see lives change. It's always been God's commission and God's plan and path has never changed. And more so now than ever. And I'll probably say this a little bit later in the message. But in 2023, I believe this, it may just be that God may call on us for a whole new level of sacrifice in 2023 than he has ever called on us in the past before. The question is, are you and I prepared? Are we ready? Because we're not serving Allah. We're not serving Buddha. We're serving Jehovah God. Amen? The true and living God. And so we must keep the faith. God needs all of us to serve him. We need to do that faithfully until we hear the trumpet sound. Don't give up on God. You may feel as if God is not listening to your prayers, but God still hears. God still answers prayers tonight. Listen, don't get the attitude, well, why even bother going to church? What's the use? Can I tell you tonight that once you and I have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the devil has lost that war forever. But let me tell you what the devil is the master of. The devil is the master of discouraging the brethren. He uses discouragement. That's the best weapon in his arsenal, because he knows if he can discourage us, well, you know, I can't bring them to hell. God's going to take them to heaven. But if I can discourage them and I can keep them from not going to church, or if I can discourage them and keep them from not being a soul winner, or if I can discourage them and keep them from not reading their Bible, are you listening? Then he will do everything in his power and become very successful, if we allow him to keep us from changing other people's lives and giving them an opportunity to go to heaven, from changing our own lives and reading what the Bible has for us in the scriptures and getting wonderful things from the Bible, even outside of Sunday and Wednesday nights, right? And so understand, man, the devil knows he's lost it. But if he can discourage us, oh my, he can do a lot to mess up God's plan. Now watch, he'll never win, but he can attempt to do it. Amen. Be careful to keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't allow the devil to cause you to drift away from church and from the Lord. He's the father of lies. And listen to what I'm about to tell you tonight. He is ruthless and he is relentless. And he does not stop. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Number two, when you keep your eyes on the Lord, you'll always go in the right direction. Fathers, that ought to encourage us tonight. It is an awesome responsibility to try and have your family stay the course and always stay in the right direction. And if it's up to me, man, my family's in trouble. But if I keep my eyes on the Lord, I can be confident in knowing, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to head in the right direction. Because it's not the course of life that Danny Reynolds sees for his life. It's the course of life that God has for my life. And man, if I know anything in life, I know this. I may not always know the direction that God is having me to go, but I know this. I'm not going alone. And look, today the step may be here. Tomorrow the step may be this way. And if you were to ask me tonight, where are you stepping tomorrow, Brother Danny? I may not know. But I know this. Tomorrow God's going to tell me. And by faith, we're going to step and we're going to go in that direction. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And if you do, you'll always go in the right direction. We should always strive to be heading forward, upward, and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. As a youth pastor, I'm always concerned, and for over 30 years now, the Lord has given me the opportunity to work with young people. And for 30 years, that has been my, outside of my family, it's probably one of my top goals is making sure that our youth department is always heading in the right direction. If there's probably two messages that I preach the most to our young people, it's always about serving and always about walking with God. I want to make sure our teenagers have a good walk with God, and I want to make sure that our teenagers know how to serve. I can't say this because I don't know your teenagers, but at our church, some of our teenagers love serving, and some of our teenagers feel like they should be the ones being served. And listen, parents, if we're not careful in today's society, boy, we get a lot of humanistic philosophy that teaches you, well, we're going to give you free health care, free education, and you're owed all of this. And so some of our young people have just swallowed that and brought it into the church house as well. Well, I don't need to serve because, I mean, after all, everybody in the church is here to serve me. And we wonder why some of our teenagers are falling away from the Lord. They've not learned how to serve. They've not learned how to walk with God. They're expecting everybody to do it for them. And so as a youth pastor, one of the things that I'm always concerned about is our youth group going in the right direction? And watch this. I'm concerned about some of our young people who looked for their own little clique so that they can become a part of together they would never not participate in the programs of our church. So they go find other people that may not are willing to serve in the programs and in the ministries of our church so that they can click together and discourage some of the other young people that are trying to do right. And it's not just young people. It's that way with us adults sometimes, too. And so we've got to be careful that if we keep our eyes on the Lord, we don't have to worry about that because we'll always be heading in the right direction. Watch this. Go ahead and take your eyes off Christ. See where that will take you. Why don't you ask Peter? Ask Samson where that leads you. Ask David what happens when you take your eyes off of Christ just momentarily. I thank God for church members that get involved in everything. Listen to me. You're faithful to the church activities. You stick around afterwards and actually clean up. I've seen staff members that didn't do that, okay? I've seen preachers that didn't do that. I mean, when it was time to clean up, they disappeared. Thank God you don't have one of those. Amen? I thank God we don't have one of those. But I have seen that where some people in the ministry felt like they were too good to get their hands dirty. Man, I want to be that guy that I don't care if I have to clean a toilet. I don't care if I have to swap a mop bucket. Hey, I want to be there. Sleeves rolled up. What is there to do? Let's get busy doing it. Why? Because, man, if I can teach a young person how to serve, or maybe if there's an adult watching me and I get them involved and they weren't involved before, now we have more than one person heading in the right direction. And more, if we get a whole church heading in the right direction, there's no telling what we could do and what we could accomplish for the cause of Christ. Think about this. I'll just go on to the next point because I got more on that, but I'll skip what I've got here in the notes. Can I just say, though, that some people just come to church just so that they can sit and soak. But what ends up happening is that from years of just sitting and soaking, they end up becoming sour. And listen, church, I try to tell our young people, our lives are meant to be spent on others. That's what our lives are all about. Hey, you know, Brother Howes used to always have the silent prayer, right? He gets from God, he gives us somebody else. He gets from God, he gives the silent prayer. I never forgot that when I went to Howes Anderson. And I'll say this, If we think that life is all about what we can get and accumulate, we've missed a boat. Man, life is all about what we can get so that we can give. And, you know, I love Brother Russell Anderson. And he's done a lot for God's ministries and God's works. But Russell Anderson, and unless he's changed the story by now, he used to always say for every dollar he's earned, he's given $1.50. Sorry, Brother Anderson. That's against Scripture. Amen. No man's ever outgiven God, okay? But I understand what he means. He's given a lot toward the Lord's work, right? The reason why God has blessed that man so greatly is because he's learned to give. He is a millionaire, but he could have just sat on that money and, you know, prepared his 401k and said, man, look what the Lord's done for me. But no, he's given to colleges and ministries and missionaries. And that's what it's all about, is doing all that we can, because when we take our eyes off the Lord, we start heading many wrong directions. Number three, when you keep your eyes on the Lord, you'll act less likely to be afraid. Think about this. Look at verse number 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, there it is, he was afraid. What happened? Just a few verses ago, he was stepping outside the boat. He was walking on the water, something that no human had ever done, and since then has ever done, right? He was the only one. And so walking to where Jesus was, but then he started seeing the wind boisterous. And then right away, look at verse 30. He was afraid. He wasn't afraid before when he kept his eyes on Christ and when he stepped out of the boat. Now, I got to tell you, I was wondering if, you know, this is Brother Danny-ology, okay? This is in the Brother Danny version. But I was just wondering maybe if Matthew and some of the other disciples are like, Peter, what are you doing, man? Get back in the boat. You're going to get yourself killed. I mean, that's what I would have said. No, he just stepped right out the water and started walking. But when he saw the wind, then he became afraid. Notice that. He wasn't afraid before. He was the only disciple that wasn't afraid when this ghost figure started walking across the water, right? Now here he is afraid. What happened? Took his eyes off Christ. It's so simple. It's so elementary. But yet, how many times have I done it? And if you're being truthful tonight, how many times have you done it? Well, God, I mean, my wife and I, just this week, I'm in sales. And so when you're in sales, you know, unless you have a base salary, I'm pretty much commission only for the most part. And so I sell a few jobs, I get them installed, and so I'm guesstimating my check is going to be X. And Brother Daniel, it was Y. And they sent me this statement, and I'm like, that's not right. And it wasn't right. And so I went back and asked them some questions, and they're like, yeah, that's right. And I could have fought, and I could have been upset, and still a little steaming tonight, just to be honest with you, all right? But I prayed with my wife during the prayer time, and I said, you know, Lord, I'm trying not to trip up the stairs, but I said, Lord, look, I'm just going to trust you have a better plan. And it's easy to say that with your mouth. But there comes a time when you really have to believe it. Hey, look, I could be afraid, and I could say, oh, how are we going to make it? I just turned 50. God's always allowed me to make it, all right? I mean, do I look like I'm suffering tonight? I'm not, all right? The Lord has been very, very good to us. And can I just say, maybe you're in a job situation where it's uneasy, or maybe you just got some family issues going on. You're like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Can I say, haven't we always made it? Has God ever left us abandoned for a single day? No, he hasn't. But the devil's so good at discouraging us. The devil's so good at making us forget about 20 years in the past of what God's done for us, he won't do it again today. Why would we think that? Because we start looking at the wind. We start looking at the circumstances. And God says, wait a minute, up here. I'm still here. Keep your eyes on me. Any person with a compass, if it's a bad compass, will always lead them in the wrong direction. But if you look toward the compass, I know Brother Angel has a message he preaches on let the Bible be your compass. And if you allow God and you allow the Bible to be your compass, he'll always lead you in the right path. The winds of life are going to blow, but in the Christian life, we call those storms. But Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30 is still in the Bible. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's still in the book, folks. It has not changed. Keeping your eyes on the Lord will keep you from being afraid when the trials come. And I said this earlier, I'll say it again. I may not know where the journey may lead, but I know that I will not go through that journey alone. Keeping your eyes on the Lord will also keep you from being afraid when death comes. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57 is still in the Bible. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's still in the book. It's still there. And let me say lastly tonight, number four, as a way of review, number one, I said, when you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will not sink. Number two, when you keep your eyes on the Lord, you'll always go in the right direction. Number three, when you keep your eyes on the Lord, you're less likely to be afraid. And then lastly, number four, when you keep your eyes on the Lord, you will not quit. Look at verse 33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You see, it's easy to say that after you've witnessed the miracle. But we also need to have the faith before the miracle ever happens that God's going to bring the miracle. Did I say that too fast, or did that make sense? I mean, it's easy to say that after the miracle, but we also need to have the faith before the miracle that God's going to bring the miracle before it happens. I mean, look, this God that we serve is not just any God. And he has been faithful to everybody in this room for countless ages. He's never lost a battle. He's never lost a war. And I don't care what your name is. You probably don't care what my name is. At the end of the day, God's been just as good to me as he has to you, and to you as he has me. Listen, God's not he doesn't prefer one person above the other. He provides for every person's needs. And we ought to take great satisfaction, great confidence, great faith in that fact, and know that if God has not failed me before, I know he's not going to fail me again. Now, and he won't fail me in the future. And so, for us to keep our eyes on the Lord, it will cause us not to quit. One of the things that I mentioned this. I turned 50 last November, and you know I've been out of college and stff like that for. Probably not good night, 30 years or whatever. And one of the things that saddens me, if you will, is to watch people that I went to school with, people that I used to serve with, that no longer believe what I believe. They no longer read the same Bible that I read, if they read a Bible at all. I've even heard some of them say now, well, I'm living my best life now. And I've preached this, and I've said this before. I don't understand. I can't even fathom what that statement means. I'm living my real life, or I'm living my best life now. I don't have a life outside the Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't imagine taking one step without making sure that's what God wanted me to do. And I'm not perfect. Man, I mean, my wife will testify, don't wave your hand and wave your hanky, babe. But I mean, my wife will tell you I'm not perfect. But this one thing I do want to do, I want to please my Savior with all my heart. And I just thank God that he's used me in spite of me. But I don't want to quit. If I keep my eyes on the Lord, I know this. I'll keep continuing to strive to have a desire to worship the Lord in every aspect of my life. I won't want to disappoint the Lord with my life. One of these days when I get to heaven, I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And not because I've transformed a million people's lives. Maybe I've only had a chance maybe to touch one person's life. But you know, I'll say this, and I'll bring it to a close. Young people ask me all the time, Brother Danny, the will of God. You talk about the will of God. How do you find the will of God? We act like it's some big cloud out in the sky. How do I get out there? Where's the will of God? And I tell young people, I'm like, we overcomplicate the will of God. The will of God is so simple. You say, what? It's very simple. Here's the will of God. And this is the most elementary way I can break down the will of God for you. When I was in Bible college, I used to beg God, God, bring a preacher that would teach me the will of God so I could figure it out. And then one day I figured it out, and I'm like, why? Why is this not being preached on and taught that easy? Here's the will of God. I wake up, and I do exactly what my Lord wants me to do today. Rinse, lather, and repeat. That's it. I mean, I get up, I read my Bible. Okay, you know, I get the instructions from God today. God, how do you want me to dress? How do you want me to act? Who do you want me to encounter and talk to and try to, you know, encourage them, you know, to go to heaven? You know, who do you want me to talk to on the job? How do you want me to present myself today and to do it to the best of my ability? Do I always succeed? Nope. Got this robe of flesh. But you know what? It keeps me out of trouble. And the next day, I rinse, lather, and repeat. That's how I told Eddie Lapina, I think 2 years ago, at a conference that I was with. I said, "Brother Eddie," I said, "you failed me, sir." And he looked at me kind of funny. He said, "What do you mean, Brother Danny?" I said, "Look, you never taught me how to deal with teenagers in 20. I think at that time it was like 2019, 2020. I said, "You, when I went to college back in, you know, 19, none of your business. You know, I went to college. Said, you didn't teach me how to deal with teenagers and their problems today in 2020. He looked at me and said, "Brother Danny, how would I know? The world has changed. But one thing remains. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And here's what I know. If we can learn to keep our eyes on Christ, the bills are going to come. Look, the winds are going to be boisterous. But if I keep my eyes on Christ and don't look at the surroundings, I just believe that I can keep the faith that says, not only will I step out of the boat, but Jesus, I want to draw closer to you. And I want to take one step after the other. Now, the devil's going to do everything he can, man. The wind gales are going to slap you upside the face because he wants to get your attention, get your eyes off Christ. But if we'll just keep our eyes on Christ, it just may be that we may walk right out to where he's at. And we may just grab his hand and Jesus may end up taking us right into glory. But we do it one day at a time. Just being faithful. Just keeping on. Keeping on. The commandments of God are not grievous. God doesn't ask us to do stuff in the Bible. It's like, "Lord, there's just no way I can do it." God says, "Look, I never ask you to do something without also equipping you to be able to do it." Christians, can I encourage you tonight? Don't be discouraged at what you think you cannot do for God. Ask the Lord to increase your faith so that in 2023 you can actually do some tremendous things for God that you never thought you could ever accomplish before, and step out of the boat by faith and say, "Lord, is it you? Then bid me to come." Maybe you've never won a soul to Christ. Can I encourage you in 2023, let it be the year where you say, "God, I'm stepping out of the boat. God, I want to do something." Walking on water? That's crazy. No man does that. That's the kind of things I want to accomplish in 2023. Not because of who I am, God knows me, but because of who you are. God, help me to keep my eyes on you. Church, that's the message. Thank you for listening. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, we sure do love you. Father, thank you so much for the message, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for how you've taught me time and time again to keep my eyes on you. Lord, I don't claim that I've arrived. I don't claim that I've become an expert in this subject matter. But, Lord, you're still working on me day by day, and I thank you for that. Help me, Lord, never to get in a spot where you can't work on me. And, Lord, I pray this message has been a blessing to some folks and encouragement to help some of your dear children of God, Lord, to be able to accomplish some things in 2023 that we've never been able to do before, Lord, because you've increased our faith. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if the Lord has spoken to your heart in any way and you'd like to respond, the altar is open as you come.